This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
All right. There he is. All right, Matt. Well, you stepped into the bullpen in the middle of this press conference. It seems like he's been hitting this press conference right before our segment now, the last couple of weeks. And we just talked, you just heard me talk about this spotter rule, which you guys really benefited from it also on Monday night.
Well, I was going to say benefited from it.
I'm being sarcastic.
It's going to be one of the worst calls in NFL history. The funny thing is, actually, I was texting with someone around the team about this yesterday. I thought that call did benefit them ultimately because it whipped that crowd into a frenzy. They were deader than hell at 17-7.
Okay. All right.
And that game completely changed from an emotional standpoint when that happened. Now, look, obviously they didn't benefit from it in the sense they would have had the ball and a fumble and everything else, right. But they beat up on the Raiders pretty good after that call. And I think the crowd getting into it, by the way, the second half of that game, after that penalty, Carl Cheffers did not call one penalty on the Chiefs the entire rest of the game except for a false start, which you had to call, and an illegal motion, which you had to call. They called nothing the entire rest of the game against Kansas City.
Yeah. And listen, to me, I'll blame McDaniel every day of the week. Go for the tie on the road, bro. You don't go for – I disagreed with that two-point call for me.
Yeah,
just
a
take
lot of people do.
At the moment. Stay in the game. You're on the road. Don't take those kind of chances. You had enough time. You could, but whatever. It is what it is. But you just heard the breaking news now. And so Skylar Thompson will end up starting. So This spotter who clearly screwed up, okay? I know. Whatever, dude. I slept at a Holiday Inn last night. So I am a doctor now.
Okay,
Teddy Bridgewater showed no effects whatsoever. And let me tell you something. This rule is such bullshit, Matt, because let me ask you, Matt. So you got to grab, let's say 50 pounds of rice and the elevator is broken, but you got to go up 8 flights of steps. So you got to go 8 flights of steps. Your mom needs the rice. She's got this big ass cookout doing. Matt Verderam's a good son. Mom, I'm going to get you the rice. You're going to go up 8 flights of steps. When you put down that rice, you know what? Ataxia might set in because it sets in for all of us. If you ran 2 miles, if you ran 40 yards, broke 2 tackles and then got hit, didn't hit your head, but you hit down the ground. Like any of us, you kind of get worn out. Oof. You might lose a little bit, but you get yourself back on track within a couple of seconds or whatever. So you're telling me that this call now by some dude on the sideline or some woman on the sideline, all of a sudden is going to decide the fate of your football team. Not only for 1 week now we're learning it's 2 weeks. Because look, Teddy didn't suffer a concussion. Miami could have had him for the entire Jets game. Maybe win that game. You never know, dude. I think the Dolphins took a lead right at the end of the third quarter with a field goal. It was a tight game for 3 quarters. It was just the mistakes with a third string quarterback, and they blew him out in the fourth quarter. But you could have had him for that week, and you could have had him for this week. Now the spotter's decision is a 2-week penalty for a team. Talk to me, my brother. This is crazy.
Look, I think the NFL is trying to correct, frankly, what I think most people believe happened with Tua in the Buffalo game. And now you're to a point where
you're overcorrecting.
You're probably overcorrecting this. Yes. Like I think I don't mind that the spotter has an opportunity to say, hey, look, let's get this guy checked, but then check him. And if he passes protocols, then he can play. Like that's where I have a problem with this. You're going to have this, where now you're putting this in the hands of people who, okay, look, hopefully are qualified and everything else to make these calls of, hey, this person should be checked out. That's fine. But at some point, you need to then turn it over to go through these protocols. And the problem is the Dolphins were supposed to do that with Tua against the Bills. There's a lot of conjecture back and forth as to whether or not he was properly checked out. He didn't get hurt,
but maybe he did check out.
I don't.
That's look, that's the other thing that we listen. I don't know. Maybe he was concussed. I thought he was concussed in the Buffalo game for sure.
I thought he was,
but I don't know. But everybody's different, dude.
Right.
He could shake that stuff off, and the way he played in the second half, it didn't look like it affected him at all.
Let's be honest. This is a two-pronged thing. This is because most people feel that he was concussed in that Bills game and that he should not have come back in. That's number one. Number two is what happened to him in Cincinnati happened to be very graphic, and it was on national television. And the NFL is an optics league and say, look, there's no way in hell we're going to be caught flat-footed again with this and we're going to overcorrect. Look, that's why, not to change subject here, that's why Grady Jarrett and Chris Jones are penalized this weekend, okay? Falling on a quarterback. Look, I'm 34 years old. I've watched the league since I was a little kid in the 90s. Can you imagine like Derek Thomas falling on John Elway and then throwing a flag and just being like, that's it, 15 yards in the ball? No, of course not. But what happens is, so like for a better example, Brady gets hit by Bernard Pollard, tears his ACL. Next year, can't hit a quarterback below the knee, right? I mean, that's right. They will do anything to protect these quarterbacks from the teams, from opponents, and that's where we are, right, wrong, indifferent. I think that's what the NFL is going to do everything it can to make sure it looks good and to try to keep quarterbacks in the field. And right now the Dolphins are dealing with those consequences.
It's unacceptable, man. It's unacceptable to lose Teddy for 2 weeks now while you're out of, you know, your starter. And dude, I got six quarters have turned like some of the Dolphin fan base. Like they're, and it's like, okay, so wait a minute. You haven't played with one of your starting corners all season. Now you lose the other guy who's a shutdown complete corner in X, and you haven't been playing with one of your tackles. Now you lost your franchise tackle in Armstead, and then you lost your franchise quarterback. I don't know how you overcome all of that stuff.
You don't.
And then you're down to your third quarterback with, you know, third string tackles and second string tackles and backup corners. And, you know, it just gets crazy. And because it's only six quarters, mind you, because it's the second half of the Cincinnati game and the Jets, I've got a portion of Dolphin Nation just losing their minds. And Matt, I'm trying to tell him, well, wait a minute, hold on, dude. If you could get some of these guys back in the next week or two, things will change. Remember, they were undefeated with those guys. You know, I'm trying to walk people off the ledge here. Am I being too homerish, or am I being objective here?
No, I mean, look, they're not going to overcome this while all these guys are out. They're not. Like, they would need Minnesota to fall apart on Sunday to lose to Skylar Thompson and a bunch of backups. I mean, look, it is Minnesota. Minnesota is the NFC's answer to the Chargers, and so anything is possible. But no, they need to get healthy. But that's not a knock. Like, if Buffalo lost Josh Allen and Case Keenum, they'd stink, okay? If the Chiefs were playing with Shane Buchel, they'd stink right now. Like, that's reality. So they need to get healthy. They need to get healthy. They need to try to survive. The good news for the Dolphins is after this Vikings game, their schedule's easy for a while. So they should be able to build back. Look, I don't think anybody realistically thought they're winning the division. They're not going to win the division. But if they get into the playoffs with a wild card team, fine.
It's about getting in the playoffs. It's about a wild card.
I still believe that they will make the playoffs as long as they can just get healthy. I think they will be a playoff team.
Yeah, me too. I believe that too. I believe that they'll end up making the playoffs. And you agree with me because you were there in the bullpen that the Dolphins said, oh, shit. Look what happened with Teddy. We have a 2 week thing. Let's get through this week with Tua so he's ready for next week to play with the Steelers. You agree with that, right?
I think the plan, it seems that they're trending toward playing him next week as long as he doesn't have a step back. Yeah, I think I think the idea is.
Yeah, but if you start the light workouts next week, he won't play against the Steelers. Like
right,
doing
you're
with
better
Teddy.
Off if he's cleared to do it. Let him get a week under his feet, you know, or under his belt. Let him get on his feet and let him go through all this stuff. Make sure he's good, because you don't want to have happen is not practice this week if he's cleared to do it. And then you say, well, we'll give him another week, and then you get into Wednesday or Thursday next week, and you find out, well, actually, no, he probably can't play this week, and now you're scrambling, and you're trying to figure out right. what you're going to do. So, listen, I'll tell you what, though, the Steelers, man, they could beat the Steelers with Raheem Mostert at quarterback. I mean, the Steelers can't score a point. It's unbelievable how bad the Steelers look. Like, I get yeah. they play Buffalo. I understand Buffalo is a juggernaut yeah, team. Yeah. My God, though. I mean, could you do anything? A 98-yard touchdown on the third play of the game? Could you maybe have guarded him? It's bad football.
The clock is ticking now on Dan Campbell.
It's getting louder. I mean, look.
It's year three. You're 1-4. You're coming off a 29-0 ass kicking.
Right.
And it's not it's not like Bailey Zappi lit you up. It's really that DeMondre Stevenson and that defense just punched you in the mouth and dominated you, you know, overall. So I've never been a Dan Campbell believer. He's the guy I want to hang out with, have a beer, bullshit with. But I don't want the rah-rah shit. Dude, I saw it with Mike Tice and Ray Rhodes and that rah-rah coach. That doesn't work in the NFL. And so that's why I'm wondering, is this the final season for Dan Campbell and the Lions, you think?
Well, it's year two. So you're like,
all year, right, two? Oh, that was
year
three.
Two.
Okay.
Year two.
My bad.
But I only say that because you wonder with Detroit. He had a 6-year contract. Like, is Detroit willing to eat 4 years? I mean, that's a lot of money.
They are notoriously cheap, yes.
They are, right? Like, that's why you look at it and go, would Detroit eat 4 years? It's kind of like the Kingsbury thing. Like, if the Cardinals fall off a cliff, they're going to eat that whole extension? Nope. They're not, because Bidwell's not getting all that money. So I wonder about that. Look, I actually liked Campbell, and I still think there's, like, some hope there. But at some point –
oh, he's likable as hell.
You've got to get off the field, man. Like, I know New England, everything was the problem. They couldn't score. They couldn't stop anybody. But a lot of the games this year, other than the New England game, they have scored points. They can't stop anybody. And, right. like, Aaron Glenn, look, man, I respect Aaron Glenn, but at some juncture, like, you got to be accountable for your unit here. I mean, they can't do anything. And this is a team that invested heavily in the defense in the draft this year. I understand they're rookies, they're kids, it's 5 weeks. You've got to play – somewhat better here. I mean, you cannot be getting lit up by New England and by Carson Wentz and by Geno Smith. Geno Smith, give him credit, played great this year. But my God, I mean, at some point here, go off the field. Yeah. I think if you're the Lions, like, you had some friskiness at the beginning of the year, we thought there might be a borderline playoff team. No, they're not. They're 1-4, and they look every bit like the Lions.
Yeah, pretty much. Ron Rivera. Well, he's apologized and all that stuff, and I guess kind of regretted what he said.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, the Freudian slip, was it just a guy that is kind of reaching that? Maybe he didn't think he was going to do it, but, you know, he's kind of been through hell personally with cancer.
Sure.
You're working for Dan Snyder and that mess. And then you clearly made the wrong decision with a quarterback. And it's just one of those where, and they have, let me tell you something. They have some nice pieces on that team. They got some players on that defense, man. And they've got a couple guys on offense too, that you'd like, you know, but it just seems like and he's a really good person. So I'm just wondering if it's a good person getting to a boiling point, almost a frustrating point. You know what I'm saying?
I think it is. Like, Ron Rivera is not a young coach. He's been in the league a long time. He was a player. He was a damn good player for the Bears for a long time. Like, he's been in the NFL his entire adult life. He knows not to go up there and say that it's the quarterback. He knows that. Even if he wants to say that, he knows not to say that. So for him to say it, to me, says he is just at his wit's end with them. And I don't blame him. You know, I mean, think about, you're playing Tennessee at home. It's a huge game for you. You've got to win this game 2-3. You're still alive. You get down at the goal line on a penalty, you score a touchdown, you win. Carson Wentz on first down almost throws one of the worst picks you'll ever see in your life. For anyone who didn't see that play,
that was bad.
He threw the ball straight up in the air like he was trying to throw it into a silo. I mean, thankfully for him, he threw it just far enough that the Tennessee defender couldn't keep his feet in bounds on the interception. And then the next play, he throws an interception. Like, it's – look, Wentz is the kind of guy, he's the Jeff George of today's era, where He's got tantalizing talent, but he's not good. He throws too many picks. He turns off too many people. He makes too many errors. And you walk away going, yeah, he's got a great arm. And he'll make four or five plays in a game where you're just
Wild.
Blown away. You're like, wow, yeah. What a throw. And then there are three or four plays in a game where he kills you. He absolutely
I think it's that he lost his edge because he wasn't that player the first couple of years. He was actually a clutch player. He was a guy that would make the big throws and the big moments and all that. I think all those injuries, I think it took his edge out of him, which happens to a lot of players that you suffer so many injuries that you're just not the same guy. And then all of a sudden now you're not playing with that same, I don't know, edge or something. You're kind of playing a little scared. And when you play scared, this is what ends up happening. But he wasn't that player the first 2 years. He was freaking all of us out with the kind of playmaking ability he had, dude.
The injuries, I think, certainly, Matt. I mean, look, you can't help but look at it and say, before he got hurt, he was going to be the MVP of the league. And After he got hurt, he's never approached that level. But I think the other part of it is, too, with him, he holds on to the ball forever.
Yeah.
And he's always looking to make a big play, always looking to make a big – and when you do that, you inevitably are going to get yourself in trouble. I think you're starting to see that right now, frankly, with Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson has a much more decorated career than Wentz. But Wilson has always been a guy who, kind of like a Fran Tarkenton, it's not that he's going to run for an ungodly amount of yards, although a couple of years in Seattle, he did run for a lot. But he always was great at extending the play and buying time and allowing the play to break down in a way that benefited him. Now, he doesn't do that anymore, but he still holds the football. So you end up with these sacks, and he ends up in third and 19 and second and 15, and you can't. I don't care who you are, unless you are the rare, rare air guy. You're getting those down in distances, you're screwed 80, 90% of the time. You're not going to overcome that. And I think you see that with some of these quarterbacks that hold the ball. It becomes a killer for you and a killer for your offense.
All right, before I let you go, are we going to see a suspension for Davante Adams?
I think we ought to. I think he should get a game. Look, I've seen, you know, and by the way, the mental gymnastics for some of these people, like, well, if you look at a different angle, what angle did he? Right, he ran the guy over. Like, I understand.
What happened to excuse me, bro?
Right. I mean, come
on. That's it. And people cut in front of you all the time. Yo, be careful. Okay.
If somebody ran in front of me on the street and I gave the guy a forearm shiver, like, I am in trouble if that person wants me to be in trouble. Now, I will say
this. That's a fight.
Yeah. I mean, if Adams had knocked the guy over and then immediately been like, oh, crap, man, I'm sorry, and like picked the guy up, and I don't think we're even having this conversation.
Right, right.
He runs him over.
It's one of those where he jumps right in front of you. You kind of trip on him, and he falls, and you're like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, and you pick him up.
You're good.
That's a pure mistake by all of us because your momentum carried you into it.
And I think people go, all right, look, man, he immediately helped the guy out. We're good. He shoves the guy down and just walks right by him. Right. And Adams wasn't running or jogging at that point. He's walking. Like, there's no reason he had to shove the guy. It wasn't like he couldn't stop. Listen, should the guy walked in front of him? No, that doesn't give Adams an excuse to give the guy a two-arm shiver and knock him into the wall. I mean, I don't know that this guy needs to be filing a police report over what happened. Okay, but he's probably looking at it and thinking money. But Adams...
I don't blame him, actually.
I get it. Look, if you're Davante Adams, fair or not in the world, you are a person of power. You cannot put yourself in that position. That is the world we live in. I think you should get a game. I don't think you should get more than that. I think you should get one game.
Me too. Yeah.
You cannot do that. I don't care that the guy crossed in front of you. People cross. I mean, like,
it's just common decency, dude. What's supposed to happen there is, whoa, what? Oh, hey, dude, I'm so sorry. Why? And that's it. And one apologizes, the other one understands. Everybody says, all right, we move on. Whatever happened, dude, we're all human beings. Let's treat each other accordingly. He pushed him to the ground and looked at him like, how dare you get in my way and just keep going? You know, it's like, that was the problem I had with it.
Yeah, he deserves a game. He deserves a game for what he did.
All right. Tell them about the podcast, Stacking the Podcast. Let's go.
So we got
Stack the Box, goes
up every every Tuesday live, noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central. And of course, you can check it out. It's on the Stack in the Box YouTube page. Just crossed over 5,000 subscribers. Help us get to 6. And then, look, the column comes out Monday. Quarterback rankings are out today. Picks are out tomorrow. Power rankings on Tuesday over on fanside.com and just on my Twitter feed. You can find all of it. So if you are so inclined, it is not hard to feast your eyes on.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter. You see it there. If you don't, because you're listening on the podcast, at Matt Verderam. Matt, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you immensely.
Hey, thanks a lot, Big O. Take care.
You got it. We'll catch up next week. We step out of the huddle.